lesson to do, and it's not a fun lesson to hear. But at the same time, we live during a time where there are certain things that and responsibilities that I believe we need to take very seriously, because if we don't, it's going to cost people. And because we have been silent on a number of issues, things have just gotten worse and worse. When I was younger and I heard a noise in the car, I would think if I just turned the radio up, I'd forget about the noise, and I would. But oddly enough, whatever was wrong with the car didn't cure with just turning up the noise. I think sometimes that's the way we approach life. This is something that we, in our hearts, know is not right, and that there will be a penalty for, but boy, are we busy. And it's uncomfortable to have conflict, even when our heart is right, and even when we are wanting to do so in such a way as to help people who are going down a disastrous path to get back on the path. Even when we want to protect our children, sometimes, if not always, it's just easier to remain silent. And then we see a problem metastasize into something that is so big we can no longer ignore it. There's something going on now that the only comparison I can make to is when I was a kid, I recognized when somebody was just trying to pick a fight. And the reason probably was because I had a big mouth and I was an easy mark. they knew they could get under my skin. But there would be some people that would not take yes for an answer. They just kept picking and picking and picking. And you realized it wasn't something that you could cure by just remaining silent. They wanted a fight. For whatever reason, I believe there are people who are in certain positions that want to fight when it comes to this issue that we have had explode in the last year or two. And that issue is one we were talking about this morning. They call themselves transgendered. It's a made-up gender. What was it that God talked about? People would invent sins. Well, this is a sin that they have invented. And the wickedness is so ridiculous that probably the first time anybody would hear about this sin, they would think, well, surely not. That's just dumb. But there are people right now that are shoving down our throats and the throats of our children that men can be women and women can be men, even though they know biologically this is impossible. And they want a fight. They want you to agree with them, or they want to punish you for not agreeing with them. And because of that, we have seen what we've seen in the last year. I heard that Clayton decided that he would go home and write a letter to Dr. Wendell. Dr. Wendell is the president of WT, who took a stand when they said, we want to honor transgendered on campus. And he pointed out, this is not the place, and we're not going to lend the university's prestige to that. We're a place of education. And because of that, people have been calling for his jobs. People have been coming from out of town and in town and marching and screaming and hollering how unfair this is. And yet all he was trying to do is to say, this is not the place. This type of perversion is something that I believe we need to be aware of. So, starting in Ezekiel chapter 18. And I'm going to begin in verse 23. And as we talk about some of the sins that are going on in society right now, understand that God does not make things sin so that he can keep people apart from him for all eternity. The one who allowed his son to die on the cross is not looking for a reason to put you apart from him from all eternity. But there is sin in this life defined by God, and if we violate the sin, then we come into conflict with Him and we're separated from Him. But notice this, verse 23 of Ezekiel 18. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? But when a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice and does the same abominations that the wicked person does, shall he live? None of the righteous deeds that he has done shall be remembered, for the treachery of which he is guilty and the sin he has committed for them, he shall die. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. This is God speaking. For the injustice he has done, he shall die. And again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned from all the transgressions he had committed, he will surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are not my ways just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Think about that, lest iniquity be your ruin. And then he says this, cast away from you all the transgressions you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. And so, when we point out that sin is sin, we have to have the same spirit that God does in that. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him for all eternity. But He is holy, and unholiness cannot go into His presence. And so we have to repent from that sin or we'll die. And so God is just, He's pleading. And He's pointing out, I don't have any pleasure in people dying. God has no pleasure in sending people to hell. As a matter of fact, God will not send anyone to hell. We choose to go to hell. But God will reward us with heaven if we'll come back to Him on His terms. And this is one of the reasons why, when we see this prominent sin that is just seeming to pollute society, why it's so important for us to say something. People's lives are in danger. We don't say that somebody is sinning because we hate them. We say that somebody is sinning because God has defined it as sin, and God has pointed out that with that sin, we cannot be with Him. Somebody has turned us away from sin in our lifetime, probably a number of people throughout the time we have lived, and we appreciate them for that, even though if at the time they were trying to do that, we didn't particularly appreciate it. Once we come to a knowledge of God, there is a love, a genuine outpouring of affection for those who were bold enough to say something, not in a cruel way, but in a kind way. You're on a reckless path. It's God's word that says this. Maybe this will help us when it comes to stands that we must take. When it comes to taking a stand and somebody says, why do you think this is wrong? Shouldn't our response be, it has nothing to do with opinion. It is God who says this is right. It is God who says this is wrong. And I agree with God. It wouldn't matter if I didn't. It wouldn't make right wrong nor wrong right if I disagreed with Him. But I'm just taking God's position on this. The argument is not with me. The argument is with God, and no one has ever won an argument with God. Plus, why would we want to? God's way is beautiful. It is a way of peace and joy and love. Why would we not want to obey Him? Well, here's one of the things that we come up against. This actually was part of the scripture that I began my morning with today. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, as for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask me, and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. This question is an age-old question. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord. Can you imagine a position that is less tenable, a position that is less winnable than setting yourself against God? And the question, why do they do that? It's because they have gone over to the prince of this world, to Satan. And because of that, they oppose God and His very precepts. Talking about this idea that we were talking about this morning with bringing in men dressed as women to read to our children, to hold our children, to let our children touch them, and how important it is for us to say, you cannot cross this line. This is a line that is immutable. If you cross it, there will be a penalty for that. Society won't do that. Society is afraid of the penalty they will pay. Schools are afraid of getting sued. Administrators are afraid of getting fired. People are afraid of saying something lest they become a target themselves. But notice who made these rules. It's part of the old law, by the way, Deuteronomy chapter 22:5. A woman shall not wear a man's clothing, neither shall a man put on a woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination before the Lord your God. Now we understand, this is the law of Moses. We understand that the old law has been nailed to the tree. I just want you to see that this problem has been around for a long time, and God has found it to be an abomination. Somebody who is abominable is somebody who is lost. They are directly opposed to God. They are in a position that is so utterly distasteful to God that they cannot stand. But now look at the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals shall inherit the kingdom of God. And the interesting thing is, Paul goes on to say through inspiration, but such were some of you. But you were washed. You were cleansed of your sins. Being effeminate is not just a gentle characteristic, it's a sin. It's a sin for whom those who practice will not inherit the kingdom of heaven unless they repent. Homosexuality is a sin just like these others. Fornication, idolaters, adulterers, the list goes on in verse 10. We've had some of these problems ourselves. The difference is we do not go in and conduct our acts of sin in public places and tell people that it is not sin, that they need to let us sin in the presence of their children, and we need to have their children taking part in this sin. This is perversion. And this sin that is going on right now of men, grown men, dressing like women and then interacting in extremely inappropriate ways, and it is happening all over the United States right now. This is so perverse that it cannot stand. We have to take a stand. There are other sins. I realize that. We talked about balance last week. We do not want to get so far into the weeds on one sin that we lose sight of what we're here for. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you making this your personal crusade. But what I am saying is God has defined sin. And when somebody wants to force us to take part in that sin, or somebody worse wants to force our children to take part in sin, or anybody's children to take part in sin, there comes a time where decent men and women need to take a stand and say, you cannot do that. And it's going to take courage. This seems to be a trait that is rapidly disappearing in our society. These problems didn't just spring up overnight, but the problems that we have are things that are almost irredeemable or unsolvable unless we begin to take a stand. Ezekiel chapter 33 now. And this is our part. And now you just plug in whatever sin you want to be thinking about, or whatever sin that someone may be trying to force upon you or someone else. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me. This is so important that we recognize that God has commands. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword on the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take the warning, his blood will be on himself. Had he taken the warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel. So you'll hear a message from my mouth and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you'll surely die. And you do not warn the wicked from his ways, that man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require from your hand. If you on your part warn a wicked man to turn away from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your life. Now, as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken. Surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we're rotting away in them. I have to tell you, when I turn on the news and I am more and more hesitant to do so, I have an idea you're like that too. I am not saying get so caught up in the news that's going on in the outrage of the day that you cease to serve God in the important tasks you have here. But I am saying this. We have to be aware of what's going on, and you cannot be aware of what's going on if you just put your fingers in your ears and go la 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 la, or turn the radio up, because you have more important things to do and you're not going to get caught up in that. Again, the weeds can grow up and choke us out from being unfruitful, but make no mistake, what is it that the Proverbs say? Rescue those staggering towards the slaughter. If you say, we knew nothing of this, does not he who created you know? There are people that we see whose souls are in danger. And we may be the watchman placed in that position to be able to say to them, I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. It's not only harming others, but it's harming yourself. This will keep you separated from God for all eternity. Here is what God's Word says. This is why. And if we can love people enough to sincerely say, I couldn't bear it if you were separated from God for all eternity, maybe they will hear our message and hear our warning. Say to them, verse 11, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? We have a great privilege to be able to study the Word of God. The Word of God is such a gift. There's a man that works for Eastern European missions that goes to other countries, and he was talking about one particular instance where they were passing out Bibles and the people were clamoring in line. The noise was something else to get these Bibles, and when they got these Bibles, they went off quietly by themselves and they opened the Bibles, and a hush fell over that room or that place that was just tumultuous a few minutes earlier. But now they're reading the Word of God and they're recognizing they have the Word of God, and they recognize this is a gift. Sometimes we have to force ourselves to read this gift because we are so busy, or we're afraid we might find something that conflicts with our lifestyle or the lifestyles of those we love. God gives us a gift, and one of those gifts is He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And one of those gifts and one of those great responsibilities, yet tremendous honors, is that He gives us the position of being a watchman in certain people's eyes. If we take that duty seriously, there will be some who turn away from their sins. Some won't. And we're sad for that. But some will. Can you imagine a better position in life to be than to be able to bring someone a warning that saves their life? Or to be able to open up the Word and find a warning that saves yours? There are things in life that are not fun to consider. And again, we can get too carried away with them to where they become too big of an issue in our mind to where we forget to do the other things that are important. But if we will take care of our responsibilities in the proper proportion that God gives us those responsibilities, this is a good life. But if we don't, society will fall apart at the hinges or at the seams. And I don't know about you, but the more I look at society right now, I'm absolutely convinced and concerned that it is falling apart at the seams. And it's time to take a loving but firm stand. The invitation's open tonight. If you're ready to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.